Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this transfiguration of our Lord is the Gospel, Mark 2:9-9. Now after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, and led them up on a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. His clothes became shining, exceedingly white, like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them. And Elijah appeared to them with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Then Peter answered and said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," because he did not know what to say, for they were greatly afraid. And a cloud came and overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Suddenly, they had looked around, they saw no one anymore, only Jesus with themselves. Now, as they came down from the mountain, he commanded them that they should tell no one the things that they had seen till the Son of Man had risen from the dead. In the name of Jesus, amen. "This is my beloved Son, hear him." These were the words of the voice which came forth from the cloud atop the high mountain some 2,000 years ago. The speaker of these words could not be seen, could not be touched, could not be smelled, could not be tasted, but he was heard. And there was no mistaking that these were the very words of God the Father. Now, statistically, it is pretty safe to say that all of us here today, and indeed those who even aren't here, believe in God. But the question I would lay before you today is a bit different. Do you believe God? The Father has spoken and said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him," or "listen to him." The words are simple enough, for they merely state a fact followed by an exhortation based on that fact. And within the context of this transfiguration event, these are not debatable words in the sense that they might have a double or a triple meaning. When the Father says, "This is my beloved Son," the words can only refer to the one who was transfigured before Peter, James, and John, to the one whose clothes became shining exceedingly white like snow, such as no launderer on earth can whiten them, to the one who was talking with Moses and Elijah. When that same voice says, "Hear him," it is likewise clear, as the Greek points out, that this is the very one whom we are to keep on hearing. Why this ongoing admonition to these 3 disciples at this point? For the same reason that you and I need to keep on hearing him, because the enemy keeps on telling us exactly the opposite. It matters not if we look specifically at that arch enemy whom Scripture calls Satan, devil, serpent, or evil one. His message is always the same, for the one of whom the Father says, "This is my beloved Son," declares concerning this evil one, he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him, for he is a liar and the father of it. Nor does it matter if we look at that enemy called self. You know, our fallen nature, that flesh which theologians like to call the old Adam. This is indeed what happened to St. Peter in the verses immediately preceding our text when he took Jesus aside and he began to rebuke Jesus. Why? Because Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and then after 3 days rise again. And how does the one whom the Father, of whom the Father says, "This is my beloved Son," hear him respond to Peter's actions and words? He rebukes Peter, saying, "Get behind me, Satan, for you," that is your old Adam, "is not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Heaven forbid that we should look to that enemy which we call the world, you know, our culture, society, government, or even to many of our churches today for truth. St. Paul, in today's epistle lesson, speaks forthrightly about those who have refused to listen to the one of whom the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." He writes concerning his own nation, indeed, even the church of his youth and early adult years. Their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, even to this day. When Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Neither false churches nor culture or society or government can discern the truth about life because the veil is only taken away in Christ, in this one of whom the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." Now, if you were to ask any of these groups, these enemies, "Do you believe in God?" you'll get an overwhelming number who will say yes. St. James specifically tells us about the devil and his dominions. "As you believe there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble." As for the second group, which includes Peter and all other individuals, since all people have that fallen nature, statistics already reveal the vast majority of people will say they believe in God. And if you turn to the rest of the world, culture, society, government, church, clearly David's words in the Psalm suggest that few, if any of them, would deny that there is a God, for it says the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God," and nobody wants to be a fool. Clearly, no one in their right mind ever answers no to the question, "Do you believe in God?" As to the question I set before you early, "Do you believe God?" I'd suggest that that is quite another story. Let's get real personal here. When the one of whom the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, hear him," speaks forthrightly and truthfully to you about the sins of your heart, specific sins, pride, arrogance, greed, lust, adultery, lying, cheating, stealing, hating, gossiping, lack of faith, lack of good works, lack of love toward God, and lack of love toward your neighbor. Does your old Adam cringe with terror? Does the blackness of your sin this morning in the presence of a brilliant and exceedingly white like snow transfigured Lord make the old man in you just a bit uncomfortable? Does he cower fearfully at the thought of being here in the very place, in the very presence of a pure, holy, and righteous God who hates iniquity and would rightly and justly condemn you, me, and all people to an eternity in the fires of hell? Dearly beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, when the one of whom the Father says, "This is my beloved Son, hear him," speaks to you and me in this way, it has a single purpose. It is the very purpose Christ demonstrates to us when he says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." The somber truth concerning man's carnal nature is that St. Peter teaches us in this brief encounter with Christ's condemning words and in his request to make three tabernacles atop this mountain. Mankind, as Peter clearly demonstrates here, always wants glory, without suffering. And that will never change. Christ rightly calls Peter Satan, just as he would rightly call us the same. He does so, however, not that Peter or we would turn away and leave him, but that we would hear him, get behind him, and follow him. That we would hear him, the one who says a few hours before his betrayal, "Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say?" He speaks here to his father. "Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." This one who revealed the glory that was truly his when he was transfigured or transformed before Peter, James, and John on that mountaintop, now himself listens as his father says, "I have both glorified my name and will glorify it again." And it would be on another mountain, Mount Calvary, where the Father's name would again be glorified as his one and only Son hangs on that cursed tree in shame and nakedness before the world, a world which believed in God but did not believe God. This his Son did, that we, like St. Peter, would indeed get behind him, of whom St. John writes in his first epistle. "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." On that Mount Calvary cross, Christ once and for all crushed the head of the devil, destroying his works. And now, so long as we hear him and get behind him, that means that Christ stands between us and the devil, and he has no power over us. And so long as we arise each morning and get behind Christ, who went to his death for us in that battle with our arch enemy, then, to use the word of Luther, one little word can fell him. That, dear friends, is what remembering your baptism each day is all about. It's about keeping Christ between you and Satan and the world and your flesh. Like St. Peter, he would have us follow him. Follow him who has demonstrated throughout this Epiphany season that he is the Son of God incarnate, God made flesh for you. This young babe of Bethlehem who grew up with, walked with, talked with, lived with, and ate with sinners day in and day out for 33 years is none other than, as we just confessed, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. And the very one who had begotten him from eternity, his Father, was the one who made him who knew no sin to be sin for you, that you might become the righteousness of God. This is the one whom we are called upon in this text and every text of Scripture to hear and follow. To follow this one who, heartened by the voice out of the cloud, sets his face to go to Jerusalem. And with the transfiguration scene ever before us, we this week, together with him, likewise enter the days of the Holy Passion, following him down into that valley through the gloom and agonies to climb with him another hill. That hill about which he himself spoke when he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain." This is the one who, having died and having been placed in the tomb, has subsequently come forth out of the ground into which he was placed and produced much grain, including each of you. You who have been made a new creation, given a foretaste of that glorious resurrection body. through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, as your sins were buried with Christ in holy baptism, and you were made alive in his resurrection. And now as his new creation, living with that new Adam, which seeks and desires to follow him in all matters of faith and life, I implore you to hear him, get behind him, and follow him who says, the one who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Jesus says, where I am, there my servant will be also. Today you are here in this place. You are where he is, for he is here serving you. Serving you with his word of forgiveness. Serving you with his bread of life. The bread which comes down from heaven that one may eat of it and not die. Serving you with the promise, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Jesus says, if anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Today, you, who in the new Adam are serving him, have been honored by the presence of the Father who says, this is my beloved Son, hear him. Furthermore, today, you are not only honored by the Father, but you are being served by his crucified and resurrected Son, who, after coming down from the mountain, says to that father of that demon-possessed boy, if you remember that story, he says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Well, like the father of that demon-possessed boy, you who today would cry out to this Son of God, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, are at this very moment being renewed and restored into a right relationship with this triune God by the presence, power, and work of the Holy Spirit. Now, dearly beloved brethren in Christ, may that Holy Spirit ever cause you to daily remember and rejoice in the good news that you are not just one of the multitudes who believe in God. You are among the chosen few who believe God. In the name of the Father, this is the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We rise. The peace of God which passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.